Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, Columbus Day, October 13th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. College costs can be shocking, but experts say few families actually pay the full freight. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, investors will look to key earnings in the coming weeks as a lack of government data due to the shutdown leaves the financial waters murky. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And third quarter earnings season really is getting underway when the big banks report. And with a lack of official government data, that's pretty much all we have to go on these days.
Yeah, it really is, Rob. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is when we hear from big ones like J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, City. Wednesday will be Bank of America, Morgan Stanley's turn. And so this is, you know, it's a little bit like piloting your rowboat with one oar. We've got the oar of corporate earnings to be able to navigate and push us ahead. We don't have the oar of official government economic data to help navigate and move us around in our investing boat here with this metaphor. So for banks, listen, right? Interest rates likely moving lower from the Federal Reserve. What does their business look like? What's the loan growth look like? And most importantly, what about that loan quality for businesses that are heavy into the C&I business as well as the residential consumer lending business?
Now, when it comes to the business lending, that probably is a halfway decent barometer of economic conditions now and going forward. If you're confident enough to borrow money to make some sort of business investment, you feel pretty confident in the overall state of the economy.
Yeah, generally, right? Think about it from a consumer standpoint. You're going to borrow money when you're pretty confident you can pay it back. The question for the banks that investors will want to see with these third quarter numbers coming in is, what's the loan quality that's on the books of these banks when it comes to these business loans particularly? What are the write-offs look like? What are some of the capital reserves looking like? Essentially, what's the health of the balance sheet for the banks, particularly when it comes to that business loan metric?
And then with a lack of official government numbers about all aspects of the economy, it seems like it would then put a premium on the product that is being put out by analysts at various banks and other institutions to, even though they don't have the map, they do have a flashlight and they could tell you how to get out of the forest.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating here, Rob, because what's developing with this government shutdown is even more emphasis on kind of private market data, not only the market data on the business side from publicly traded companies that they have to release every 90 days to the Securities and Exchange Commission and their investors, but also when it comes to these large banks and other institutions, what they're gathering from their own clients or third hand information that we can then read into for the full picture, trying to get that full picture of the U.S. economy.
And then, of course, Friday, there was a big sell-off that was touched off by some comments from President Trump that indicated that maybe things were not as rosy yep. as they seemed when it came to trade agreements with China. But then the president kind of walked back his comments and tried to put a positive light on it with a subsequent Truth Social post. And that seems to be driving some of the rally today. Yep.
Stop me if you've heard this before, Rob, about a gargantuan trade tariff threat, and then somehow it gets peeled back a little bit well before it ever actually gets instituted. I think that's what we're seeing today in the market. The Friday reaction was, whoa, listen, the equity markets have been on a tear. So has the gold market, by the way. Let's take this excuse from Trump and a new chapter or new paragraph in this trade war with China. Let's take some profits. Over the weekend, cooler heads prevail. We see more statements. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of short covering today. But this market has remained very, very resilient.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami, Florida. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, tuition may seem sky high, but experts say most families pay far less after financial aid and strategic negotiation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As college tuition soars, the price tag may seem daunting, but it's important to know that most families don't pay the full amount. Experts say discounts and negotiations are common, and it can drastically lower your cost. We welcome in Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, past national president of the Financial Planning Association, and find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. I think everybody blanches at the cost of college tuition, regardless of the institution, Ivy League, in-state, out-of-state. It boggles the mind, that number, but most people don't pay it, but your discount really is up to you.
Yeah, Rob, first and foremost, let's start with those parents listening with young children. Our best advice is to consider starting a 529 college savings plan. So when you get to this point, whether you have a junior or a senior in high school, right, these overall costs, which can be daunting, are somewhat mitigated. But, you know, first and foremost, again, you know, when you figure out and you look at something what's called a net price calculator, nearly every college has this on their website. It may take you a bit to find it, but that kind of gives you the suggested retail price. Right, of college. Plus, when you put in information about your family and income, it'll kind of give you a net price with need-based or merit-based aid. But remember, this is just an estimate and not what the actual is going to be, which again is where you start the whole process of either negotiation and or just kind of researching other institutions to try to get that price down as much as possible.
Now, when it comes to financial aid, we talk about financial aid. We've gone in depth on all of the issues in the last couple of years about the FAFSA form coming out on time, and student loans have been a part of the national policy discussion for a very long time. But if you want to negotiate with the financial aid officer, do you or just with the college itself, what are some of the things that you can bring to the table that will actually move the needle?
In all intents and purposes, it's merit-based aid. And again, we want a balance in life. We don't want students or parents actually going overboard with their students. Merit-based aid is based upon academics and your academic history. And just directly, the better the grades, the better the test scores, the higher the institution is willing to discount because they want that student in. And so when you go to these highly selective colleges, right, that bar is really high. But when you start looking at average colleges, if you would, and institutions across the country, right, they may have more grant and more merit-based aid because they really want those students into their programs.
And at the end of the day, you just have to keep telling yourself that this is not an expense. It's an investment in your child's education, and it will eventually come back to you sometimes multifold.
And that's kind of the key, Rob. So there's only one other expense that we can think about that's more, which is basically a house, right? So you're kind of investing in your child's future, and your child is investing in your future. And that's something that's incredibly important here, Rob. we believe that families should have a conversation with everyone, right? The parents and the student, and kind of outline what the cost is. So that financial responsibility isn't just, you know, on the parents' shoulders. That should have a full conversation about what it means and what that trajectory means, because you can have certain degrees that pay more over a lifetime and certain degrees that pay less. You want to go into this full eyes wide open, especially if it's going to cause financial, let's call it, drag on the family finances, where a parent is sort of having to put off, let's say, retirement savings because of this. So make sure it's a family conversation.
Ed Jertsen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. It's 12:14. Coming up next, airlines warn passengers about potential interruptions because of the federal government shutdown.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Issues at airports are starting to worsen, and conditions could deteriorate further when paychecks are missed later this week. Joining us with the latest is Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And what an appropriately timed segment, Joe, because right now I have one eye on FlightAware. I'm watching my wife and oldest daughter trudging along the tarmac at LaGuardia. Their flight was supposed to leave about an hour ago. Of course, they have a nor'easter in New York right now that's really kind of slowing things down to the airports up and down the East Coast. But once the weather clears, the government shutdown related turbulence could begin.
Indeed, we've already had lots of flight delays in the last 8 or 9 days that we've had the shutdown. As you mentioned, today at LaGuardia, literally half the flights are delayed. About a third of the flights are delayed at Logan. There is this nasty storm. This only compounds, Rob, the problem we have with not enough TSA agents, not enough air traffic controllers. They're beginning to sign out and not show up. And Wednesday, the 15th, is paycheck day. When they miss the first paycheck, that's when it really starts to bite.
Now, when the as far as air traffic control staffing is concerned, if they are short-staffed in the control tower, that is when the FAA puts essentially that they close the spigot on flights just a little bit to make it more manageable for more people. And that's the ground delay program. And it seems like that's a piece of phraseology that we're going to become very familiar with in the coming weeks, assuming there's no resolution.
Well, I think the problem is don't get lost in the verbiage, because it all means in the end your flight will be canceled at worst, delayed heavily at best. At a big airport like O'Hare, there'll always be an open tower. But we've already seen some closures. Burbank last week closed their air traffic control tower. Nashville had issues. O'Hare itself had some issues last week, although short staffing, not closing the tower. We tend to forget that the people who work in government are no different than us, and most Americans cannot live when they miss a paycheck, because they live from paycheck to paycheck. So an air traffic controller who's got no money says, well, maybe I'll drive Uber or I'll become a DoorDasher and I won't go into work today. And that will make the situation worse. And it's frankly what stopped the shutdown the last time in 2019. Trump's people couldn't handle its flight delays and the pictures of the flight delays.
Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, General Motors is upping its investment in electric vehicles, plus suggestions from our Monday stock picker.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are rallying today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, former CEO of IG North America in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today, J.J. Looking at Friday's market activity versus today's market activity, it's a case of easy go, easy come.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, though, Friday's market activity, the one hangover, if you will, that I'm seeing from that today is a little bit of the VIX. And even though the VIX, which, again, for those who aren't as familiar with it, measures volatility in the S&P 500, many call it the fear index. When it gets above 20 is when people start to take notice. Now, the VIX itself is $19.36 today, just below 20. So I do think if we see any sort of selling into the close today, you may see people running a little bit for protection going forward. And the other market that was really shaken up, as I know you've reported, is the Bitcoin market. Bitcoin now back up near $115,000. But again, it was the biggest one-day liquidation we saw in the history of that product.
Now, when it comes to the cryptocurrency market, which is traditionally very volatile, and if you want to jump into it, you really need to know what you're doing. But it's been around for over 10 years now, so there's probably large enough of a sample size to give you an idea of how it can behave at certain times. And is it shaping up to be an economic bellwether? Does it tell you anything about broader economic conditions?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it does. I see it more as a confidence meter than anything else. I don't know that it's necessarily a hedge to downward markets, et cetera, but I think when people are feeling confident in the market, and even sometimes you'll see a sell-off in the stocks, and Bitcoin will rally. I think when people are feeling confidence in markets overall, they use that as an opportunity to buy Bitcoin. So we saw on Friday, again, some big names selling off quite a bit. And I think that some of the confidence in the crypto products, and I see Bitcoin as sort of a sample for all Bitcoin products because it's the most well-known and the most well-traded by most retail traders. So to me, at this point, I would say that that's primarily what it is. I think, many would like to see it shape itself as gold does, as sort of a harbinger during tough times. I don't know that we have enough of a track record to say that that's what it's doing yet.
On the subject of entities that have been around for 10 years and we know all too well, on Friday, the sell-off was triggered by Donald Trump talking about suggesting that there could be a ramping up of trade tensions with China. And there was a big sell-off. Today, there's a big rally because the president went on his Truth Social platform and said everything's going to be okay. The president's negotiating posture has been well known for a decade. So why do markets react so react like that? Because they know that the walk back is coming.
I actually love that you're pointing it out, Rob. And I think the other thing is, I'll also claim it a little bit on a government shutdown. You got to remember right now, there isn't a lot of data for traders to trade on. So they're clinging on to any piece of data. That's a pretty big piece of data, what he said on Friday, let's be honest. And, without employment reports a week ago Friday, et cetera, I think that that's why, you'll be reporting on earnings starting tomorrow as earnings season kicks off in a big way. And I think that these numbers have more meaning than perhaps other earnings numbers, only because it's a piece of data that traders can go forward with and make some assumptions on, which is something that they're missing right now.
And let's talk about earnings season very briefly. The banks all step up to the plate this week. What are analysts and traders expecting out of the banks when they report?
Yeah, I think, you know, overall in earnings season, we're expecting just under a 9% growth rate, which is year over year, which is a little bit less than what we've seen the past couple of quarters. I think what people really want to hear the banks talk about primarily are two things: employment and housing. And, you know, the housing market has almost been frozen. And we saw last month the biggest percentage of people back out of contracts since 08. So I do think there are a lot of questions there. And, of course, the employment question, again, continues to be such a mixed message overall. So I think people want to hear what the banks will have to say about that overall. Jamie Dimon, again, is sort of the dean of the CEOs right now. So his comments are one that I think everybody will pay a lot of attention to.
J.J. Kinahan, former CEO of IG North America in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, GM ups the ante on electric vehicle production.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
General Motors is doubling down on electric vehicles, even as U.S. EV sales are set to cool. But leadership is confident the investment will pay off. Joining us to discuss is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And General Motors, along with the Detroit Three, all made very bold moves in the last decade or so to transition to an all-electric fleet by 2035. Of course, that has been scrapped by the Trump administration, but it's still a goal that GM, at the very least, wants to meet.
That's right. I mean, for outsiders observing the auto industry, they'd think, you know, there's a little bit of split personality here, because on the one hand, as you just pointed out, policy shifts have made it really unprofitable in the near term for major manufacturers to go all in on EVs. On the other hand, if anybody at those large organizations, and they are trying to predict what the market's going to look like in, say, 3 to 7 years, they're looking at growth. In other words, the global EV fleet is projected to grow roughly 400% by 2030. There was about 250 million vehicles in the world, not in the North American market necessarily as far as a contributor. But the point is that that market is growing. GM wants to be positioned for, they're basically, you know, frankly, they're looking ahead beyond current political climate and beyond policymaking to say, look, we think that there's a gigantic demand for this stuff and we're going to keep making them.
Now, I recently joined the ranks of EV owners, and the one overwhelming impression that I have when I'm behind the wheel of a General Motors electric vehicle, a Chevy Equinox, is that this is the future. That really is the sense that I get. Like, this is the future. And yes, you have to really learn the art and science of finding a charging station if you need one, and B, just knowing which ones will charge your car faster. But I've had one now for almost 2 months, and I forgot what the gas station looked like.
Look, I mean, it depends on your politics and our politics, my politics, you know, sort of should stay outside of all this, but you could look purely at the economics. But you talked about the future. Look, if your future includes spending less on transportation, meaning the cost per mile, and your future includes exciting acceleration from 0 to 60, leaving everything else out. Yeah, look, I'm biased too, but biased by experience. I've had an electric vehicle. It's a Volvo. It's owned by Geely Motors for the last 2.5 years on a lease, and I will not go back. And the reason is it cost me about $7 to, quote, fill my tank, in this case, with electrons. And it also accelerates from 0 to 60 so much, as you and I've talked about before. It make, you know, when it's safe to do so, to make my kids scream, you know. So
I haven't gone that far, but there are some days I feel like I'm like Steve McQueen in Bullet, going through suburban Chicago in this electric vehicle. So from a performance standpoint, I mean, EVs really do stack up against internal combustion engine cars. But also with General Motors staying the course on building out their EV production capability, over the course of time, those cars become cheaper.
That's exactly right. In fact, right now, by the way, anybody who's looking for this kind of vehicle, GM is doing the right thing. Again, purely on an from an economic perspective, right now they're scaling back on the number of workers working on electric vehicles. They changed the status of about 900 workers at the Fairfax Assembly Plant in Kansas City, Kansas, to indefinite layoff in that electric vehicle assembly line. However, as you just said, they are looking forward to bringing those folks back in early Q1 of 2026, they report. And the reason, again, is because they want to satisfy global demand, not just domestic U.S. demand. And again, to conclude, if you want to spend less and have some pretty amazing driving capabilities, yeah, electric vehicles are very exciting. GM is planning ahead for just that.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor at The Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today. Join us this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and sharing his expertise this afternoon is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com, based in Hammond. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And we all notice a little bit of a chill in the air on fall mornings, finally, and that leads us to our first stock of the week.
That's right. It's Comfort Systems. The symbol is FIX. The stock trades for about $852 a share. The company, as you kind of alluded to, is involved in infrastructure and building, in most cases, in the heating and ventilation and cooling areas. The big kicker for this stock, as well as the other stock that I'll mention here, is that these companies are really getting a second wind from the build-out of e-infrastructure with data centers, et cetera, and that's really been driving the earnings growth for a company like Comfort Systems. Their earnings are rising at an accelerating rate. They are crushing earnings estimates. Earnings estimate trends have been rising. Stock has done well, but again, if you're looking for kind of ways to play the AI trade in terms of focusing more on kind of the picks and shovel makers, Comfort Systems is a nice way to do that. Again, it's Comfort Systems. Symbol is FIX, and it trades for $852 a share.
And that takes us dovetails nicely into our next selection of the week, which is also part of the AI infrastructure space, especially as we talk about building out data centers to build up that AI capability.
That's right. This company is Sterling Infrastructure. The symbol is STRL. It trades for about $354 a share. And yes, this is involved in a variety of infrastructures, primarily the e-infrastructure digital center build-out. But the company is also involved in kind of the transportation infrastructure build-out, where there is plenty of money that's going to improve the highways and bridges, et cetera. And Sterling has a piece of that. And then finally, they also provide building infrastructure for both residential and commercial. Earnings are growing at a very rapid rate, getting a real lift from kind of the e-infrastructure build-out. Earnings estimates are rising very sharply as well. So it's a very similar story to Comfort Systems in the sense that, there's lots of infrastructure spending that's going on both in the digital world as well as in the physical world. And these are two companies that can take advantage of that. Again, that Sterling Infrastructure symbol is STRL. And it trades for $354 a share, and our company and our clients own both of these stocks.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com, based in Hammond. Thank you for joining us today. His two selections on this Stock Picker Monday: Comfort Systems, ticker symbol FIX, and Sterling Infrastructure, STRL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.